We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Brennan Scarlett in the building, right?
In the building, yes, Miami, yes, Dolphins. Sir. What's up, my guy?
Everybody get your popcorn ready. I'm your host here today, T.O., and I got my other host over here.
Your man Hatch is in the building, as always.
Yeah, and we're about to get it popping.
We're about to get it popping like popcorn. Yeah.
Let's get it popping.
So, thanks for coming on the show,
yeah,
brother.
Man. Yeah, I appreciate y'all having me, man.
Man, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming to the show. But there's an elephant in the room.
Elephant in the room. We're going to get right to it.
Right, right.
Okay.
This is your first year with the Miami Dolphins, am I correct?
Yeah.
Obviously, like I said, Brian Flores, you guys is, you know, your former coach now. Mm. You guys, we talked about it right before you sat down, finished the season strong. I mean, at this point, do you think that there was a possibility of him being fired? And then what do you think about, obviously, now that of the allegations of some of the things that are swirling around about, you know, throwing games, you know, him getting paid to throw games, things of that nature.
Yeah.
And how does that sit with you as a player?
I mean, first of all, just like my experience with Flo was a great one. Mm-hmm. You know, just in my first season in Miami, seeing the way that he goes about his business, you know, and he treats the, you know, the staff. He felt like he ran a tight ship, you know, and the players not only respected him as a coach, but, you know, he also, like, could relate to us in a way and mm-hmm. you know, had, like, a personal relationship with him. And we had a rough start. I think it was, like, 1-7.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so we kind of knew that, you know, it could go bad at that point.
Right.
You know, you start off with that many losses, and it was rough. So understood, like, some people's jobs may be on the line, but mm-hmm. then finishing pretty strong, you know, we won – I think like 8 in a row, like, you know, we end up
8 out of 9.
8 out of 9, and we were balling. So everybody, you know, I think in the locker room, we're like, okay, this is gonna, you know, Flo's gonna stay, mm-hmm. and we're gonna keep it consistent. So when he got fired, like, it was, you know, it was a shock to me, a shock to everybody. Right. I think, you know, I remember I was coming into exit meetings, and I was driving in. It was a Monday after our last game, mm-hmm. and I was actually driving in a little bit late. Because, you know,
I was celebrating my ass off, right?
I was actually late to my meeting with Flo, my exit meeting. Mm-hmm. So I was like, damn, man, this is a bad look. And I pulled in and like, walked in the locker room, and he had everybody huddled up and was just like, yeah, man, I'm out. Wow. And I walked in and just saw that, and I was like, whoa, you know, threw me totally off.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
It was a shock, you know.
So explain to, like, the fan base, because we don't really get to hear the player's perspective when a coach is fired. A lot of people are like, oh, you guys, you're getting paid millions of dollars. You're going to line up and play next year. Not a big deal, right?
Right?
But it sounds like from a lot of the Miami Dolphins, it affected you guys. You guys were really rooting for Coach Flo.
Yeah, no, right? Without a doubt. I mean, it shakes up the whole building, you know, because not only in the locker room where, you know, we've built relationships with each other and our teammates, but, you know, also the coaches, you know, from head coach down to position coaches and mm-hmm. people in the equipment room and people in the training room. And when you take away the head guy, mm-hmm. you know, that just, there's a lot of uncertainty with everybody, not only, you know, the roster, but mm-hmm. also, like, that equipment team and that training team. They don't know what's going on. So mm-hmm. it's like, dang, this whole year for me, you know, the season of, you know, building relationships and getting to a point where I feel comfortable. Because, you know, that's so much when you get to a new team, you want to feel comfortable. Yeah. So y'all can all build together. You want to go win together. And then when you lose your head coach, it's like, dang, you just don't know what's going to happen. So I think more than anything, it's just uncertainty, you know, from a player perspective, not knowing what's next, not knowing what kind of defensive scheme is going to come in, you know, who's my position coach going to be. And
just the identity that he brings.
Yeah.
So now you guys have a new coach, Mike McDaniels. Obviously, this is going to be a totally different, I'm sure, you know, mindset, everything that you guys experienced, like I said, within your first year. And as you said earlier, you alluded to it, like you finished the season strong and you're now looking, you know, to next season, you know, having that way that you finished strong, you want to transition and have that flow into the next season. You know, do you guys still feel that you can still do the same things? Obviously, like you said, once the head coach is gone, like I said, there's a lot of things that that are going to change. There's a lot of uncertainty.
Yeah. Yeah, no, we got a lot of talented guys in the locker room. You know, and I think that's number one. And it's a really young team, you know, young guys. Like I came in and, you know, I was a 6-year player and I felt like I was, you know, the oldest in the whole building. I'm an OG in there, you know. And so I think there's a lot of talent and a lot of things to look forward to. And it'll be interesting, you know, not having Flo. Flo's a defensive minded coach. Right. And now Mike McDaniel coming in. You know, he's more of an offensive guy, which I think will actually be good probably for Tua and his development as a quarterback. And, you know, I've seen both. I've had defensive head coaches, offensive head coaches. And, you know, just there's a lot more focus placed on both sides. Yep. And so it'll be interesting to see how it goes.
Yeah. Can you guys compete, you know, in the AFC? Yeah. I mean, y'all got the Patriots. You know, you got all these teams that are, you know.
The Patriots and the Bills. And then
making some headway.
That's a tough one. Yeah.
Do you feel like you have, like you said, the talent is there? Now you have a new head coach. Do you guys see this next year as somewhat of a rebuild, restructure type, and then, you know, the following year you can compete? Or do you feel like you said you got the talent to compete with the Buffalo Bills, the New England Patriots?
Yeah, right,
the Jets.
Well, you know, y'all beat the Jets. Don't worry about that.
Y'all whacked it. Yeah.
No, I think the way that we finished, you know, the strong finish, I think it'll roll in to next season, honestly. Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, it's just a matter of putting it all together, you know, all three phases, right? You know, when the offense has a good game, the defense got to come to play too, special teams, you know, and vice versa. You know, we got to put points up on the board and, you know, defense, you know, we're going to get stops.
Oh, and then the playoffs, special teams, it is a key factor.
Yeah, 33%
of the game. It's been key in a lot of wins and losses. Like you said, when you think about, especially when you go on the road, I know when I was with the Niners, you know, the mentality and philosophy we had is like, when you play on the road, you better pack your defense and you better pack your special teams. Mm-hmm. Because those are two elements of the game that could really sometimes cost you, or they can win the game.
Yeah.
You saw in the Green Bay game, you know, with the Niners, the block punt. You know, that was a turning factor, you know, in obviously the Niners getting to the NFC Championship game. You look at, you know, all these games that were played, you know, during the playoffs, they were won by field goals. You know what I mean?
Fact.
So that's something, again, like I said, for all these guys, and you're just alluding to it, like, you have to play every phase of the game in order to be successful. What is it going to take for the Miami Dolphins? And maybe you already said it, to really get back to where you feel like you can be with the competition in your division.
Yeah, I mean, shoot, like you said, it's, you know, the special teams, I think, you know, oftentimes people overlook how important that is, you know, but, you know, the swing of momentum that could come from the kicking game is crazy, right? Mm-hmm. Momentum's a hell of a drug. You know what I mean? That could change the outlook of a whole game, right?
Absolutely.
And, you know, just kind of as far as we look forward and, you know, putting points up on the board and stopping people, you know, and also being successful in the kicking game, I think it's just putting all those pieces together to really, you know, to compete and to win, not only in division, but, you know, throughout the league.
So coming from, like, the Texans, again, there wasn't a lot of stability in that organization, right? You get to the Dolphins and, like, coach is gone already. So are you kind of looking for that program or that organization to kind of make a commitment, you can kind of be somewhere and have some stability, you think that's going to be part of the winning program as well?
Yeah, I mean, I think having stability as in your head coach and, you know, also trickle down from there with your position coaches, I think stability is important. And also on your roster, having your core guys and keeping them together so they can build. You know, I think as we see, like, the best teams right now, you know, they've kind of committed to, you know, a head coach and to a quarterback and to, you know, their core guys, and that's what that's the successful formula, you know. And so when I first got into Houston, it was, you know, it was O'Brien's kind of building days, you know. He had kind of just built up, and we were really competing with Indianapolis back when, you know, Andrew Luck was there, and we were trying to take away the, you know, the AFC South from them. And then, you know, so we were there for basically five seasons, you know, and so that I saw some stability with the Texans and the way that we were able to compete and win the AFC South, you know, all those years, you know, I saw what stability could do, right? And so, you know, now with the Dolphins and now having a head coach, you know, I think there is somewhat of, like, something that we'll just have to overcome as far as, you know, putting in a new guy and a new staff and building it to win, you know, right now. And, you know, going into my seventh season, like, that's, you know, I'm trying to win right now.
Right, you know
what I mean? I want to go to a program and a organization that's competing to win the championship, because at the end of the day, I mean, that's what we're doing this
already.
For, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I want to play in a game that's being played on Sunday. Like, I'm not trying to, you know, it's nice being here on the podcast.
I'm getting ready on the practice field.
I'm about to play.
Right,
you know,
right.
And so I think that's the goal for me as far as where I'm trying to land.
Right.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So again, that's on the field, though. Again, you're going into year seven.
Yeah.
So you know what the NFL is. You've taken care of football, right?
Yeah.
But Brennan Scarlett is more than just football. Like, we had Jonathan Allen on for a little bit, and he was like, football is what I do, but it's not who I am. So you have a whole bunch of things going on off the field. So let's get into that discussion. Let us know what, you know,
can I ask him a question before
that? Absolutely.
You talked about stability, commitment. Like I said, moving forward, that's what it takes to obviously be successful, get to where you ultimately want to be. Like I said, you don't want to, then yeah, it's a pleasure to have you here on the podcast, but you would rather be preparing for the Super Bowl. But we've already seen Brian Flores get fired. That's a shakeup, you know what I mean? So now you guys are in disarray a little bit. Now you hire a new coach, and Mike McDaniels. So now, still, there's still some uncertainty, because we heard it throughout the course of the year about your quarterback position. Mm-hmm. You know, was he going to stay? Was he going to go?
Yeah.
There were trade rumors. Do you think that the organization is committed to Tua? Because, again, like I said, your head coach of last year is already gone. Now you're moving into a new season. Offseason is here. Do you think there are going to be some other moves possibly could shake up the organization? Because, like I said, there are rumors out there, trade rumors with Tua.
Yeah, I think the hiring of Mike McDaniel is actually the showing of commitment to Tua.
Okay.
In my mind, being an offensive coach and being there to be able to develop him and really, you know, commit to him, because I think, you know, that's what you need. I know Tua, like, you know, great dude, and he kept his mindset, you know, solid through the season. But I can only imagine, like, how difficult that was to be hearing, you know, the Deshaun rumors
every week.
It was every week. It was it's gonna happen. It's gonna happen.
Right.
You know,
right.
But he stayed, you know, level set throughout the whole thing. And now this season, you know, I hope for, you know, the team, but really for Tua too, to just be able to just
play
the
quarterback free without
he's
a lot
the
of these things.
You know what I mean?
Let him be the guy.
Because, you know, for that's what we need.
Would you like to see Tua stay?
Yeah, yeah, I would like to see Tua stay. Yeah. I think he's got a lot of talent. He's a good guy in the locker room. He works hard. You know, he's got an arm on him.
Oh,
man.
I already know. I told you before you sat down, I worked out. I'm from Alabama. I go to the facility. I go on campus from time to time, and I worked out with him when he was a true freshman. This is when Calvin really and some of the other guys, Judy, they were on. They were still in college. I think this junior, senior year, and they wanted me to run routes. And so they were trying to get Jalen to come out there. They was like, man, teach us some stuff, blah, 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 blah. They couldn't find Jalen anywhere. So they was like, man, it's like, we just got a hold of Tua. And I was like, who? They said, yo, bro. They said, he's the real deal. They said, honestly, they said, if Jalen wasn't here, he would be our starting quarterback right now. I'm like, what? I said, as a true freshman? They was like, bro, just watch.
Right.
Bro, he came out there, dude. We was out there for about an hour and a half. Bro, he didn't miss a route. I corrected one adjustment, and that was on the bang eight, because when I ran on the bang eight, it's your fourth outside step. You know, that ball should be already gone as a quarterback. I mean, he doesn't play quarterback. You know, he throws.
I know quarterback.
But he knows, you know what I mean? He already knows, too. Like, on that fourth outside step on the bang eight, that ball should be halfway to you or right there in your hands.
Right.
And when I came out, I saw him throw it, and it was a little behind. And I said, Tua, I said, I shouldn't see you throw that ball. That was the only correction I made. Mm. Ran that route again. Dude, I've never seen, as a true freshman, but I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah.
Fast forward, you know, obviously replaced Jalen in the championship game against Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking to a friend on the sideline, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, because this was a big decision for Saban to make, you know,
because
they're losing.
Right. At halftime, too, right?
Yeah, at halftime. Yeah. Dude, and I'm like, yo. And I hear the crowd. I'm on the sideline, and I hear the crowd just started to erupt. And I saw it. I said, oh, my God. And they were down. I said, they about to win this game.
Mm-hmm.
I said, they about to win this game. Some guy was like, what makes you think that? I said, this dude is a real deal.
Yeah,
I said, this summer I ran routes with him, and I saw this, like, as a true freshman, and he mentors a lot of kids, holds a lot of 7-on-7 camps. And we, like I said, we out there, we know guys that got it, you know what I mean?
You got the it factor.
That it factor.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, he had that beyond it factor. Because, like, dude, I was running, like, legit NFL routes, you know what I mean?
He put it on you.
I mean, dude, he didn't miss a beat.
Yeah.
So when he came in and did what he did halftime and then became a star at Alabama, and then I knew he was going to be like a top draft pick.
Yeah.
And now to see, you know, what he's doing now, like I said, the sky's the limit for this guy. And once he gets comfortable, like I said, you guys had some protection issues, had some injuries. And then, like I said, I'm sure the thought that to have somebody thinking that, okay, well, there's a trade rumor, I'm not going to be here week to week.
Yeah.
He's human. That has to weigh heavily on his shoulders, but Tua, he's the real deal. So, man, I'm rooting for you guys. But yeah, man, back to your question.
Yeah.
Back to your question.
Let's reboot.
Post career stuff. Off the field, what you got going on?
Yeah.
I mean, a city like we're in Houston, right? A city like Miami, there's tons of stuff to do, right? We lived in Miami. We know what Miami is, right? Has to offer. Out here in LA, but there's so much. When you're in the NFL, you have every city at your fingertips, right? So what are you doing to take advantage of all this?
I think, from a young age, really, I've always, you know, my parents had me be something more than just, you know, what I was on the field or on the court. You know, I was getting the homework done was the number one priority, right, all the way through. And, you know, in high school and college, I dealt with some injuries where, you know, the game was taken away from me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I had to rely on other things, right? I was, you know, rehabbing an injury, but...
Because you went to Cal and Stanford, right?
Yeah.
So that's two very high academic schools, obviously.
Yeah. So I came out of high school in 11, and I was at Cal for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
I graduated, and then I transferred to Stanford to play my fourth season, but did the fifth-year transfer and got my master's there in engineering.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, a lot of my kind of whole career is all, I've always had something off the field, you know, whether mm-hmm. it was, you know, homework or projects or this degree or whatever. And, you know, I find solace in that. I love having, you know, stuff to do off the field. Like when I'm done training, when I'm done watching film, like I don't really be playing video
games.
You
ain't running to the Xbox.
I don't really do that, man. Right. I like, and props to anybody who do that.
Right.
But like, I'd rather
not you.
Work on some stuff that I'm developing myself and, you know, mm-hmm. my experiences and, you know, and building who I am, you know, just as an individual. And so, like, after my first season, I started my nonprofit foundation called the Big Yard Foundation to support community empowerment back home in my city in Portland, Oregon. Mm-hmm. We help with underserved and underprivileged youth through literacy and creativity and physical wellness and bringing the community together. And so...
And that's still going till today, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah. So we're shoot, man. It's our 4-year anniversary is coming up. So,
okay.
You know, that's been...
Congrats on that.
Yeah, I appreciate awesome. That.
Yeah.
Appreciate sure. that. And more recently, you know, as I've kind of leaned into who I am, you know, as a brand, right? And you know, treating Brennan Scarlett not only as a ball player, but, you know, as a brand, right? Mm-hmm. And like my own corporation, you know,
it's
I am a
business.
Corporation,
yeah.
right? And so thinking about, you know, expanding that brand and hiring on support to kind of support, you know, that push and have actually like more recently created a creative agency around that basically to push mm-hmm. some of my creative endeavors, but also to support, you know, other athletes who are looking to tell their stories and let people know who they are mm-hmm. off the field. Because for me, being an undrafted free agent, you know, I didn't have a marketing team.
That was
you know, just given to me when I came in the league. I had to go knocking on some doors.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I had to go out knocking on agents' doors, like, yo,
let me get an appearance.
You know what I mean? Like, yo. And so I kind of started doing that work on my own and making, you know, content and figuring out the whole process. And it's been a journey, mm-hmm. right, to be able to sit here with y'all. You know what I mean? It's been mm-hmm. a whole journey. And so for other players who want to do that, you know, because it's rewarding to be able to tell your story and get people to know and engage with who you are off
with
the field.
With who you are, right.
You know, so trying to support that process.
Absolutely. So, again, kind of define the creative company. Like, define, like, are you guys doing movies, TV, podcasts? Like,
yeah.
What exactly is that going to all
entail?
Yeah.
So it originates really in content. So okay. video content, if you okay. want to, you know, create a vlog, or you want to do a partnership with a brand that, because you love indoor plants, you want to find an indoor plant brand,
mm-hmm.
we'll help you create that content and also, you know, we'll source that brand, right?
Okay.
Or we also go on the other side, right? If there's, you know, for instance, we worked with a brand called Stash, which is this financial platform, like you can invest on there, right? And they're mm-hmm. doing this financial literacy leg of their company.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically they were looking to source a way to tell that story of what they're doing. And so myself and the Scarlett Creative Agency, along with Ndamukong Suh, you know, we put together a community event basically around that, to, you know, because that's important to Ndamukong and I, mm-hmm. but also important to the, you know, to the company to have aligned partners who are really, yeah. you know, interested in what they do and kind of building that whole idea of what that Stash Summer School looked like and mm-hmm. doing the production around it and then the, you know, the amplification and all kind of working together. So.
Right.
And trying to create lasting partnerships.
Right. So again, we kind of go back and forth on players getting out of their sport and going to do other stuff. That's where the problem lies, right? You're in your second, third year. Players are like, I want to do this, but I have to focus on ball.
Facts.
Right. You're going into your seventh, so again, you're comfortable with doing this now. Like, so tell like some of the younger players, like, what would your advice be to them? Like, when is it time? Is it after you get a first big contract? Or do you, as soon as you get in the NFL, you should start branching out and doing other stuff? You know, what do you think it is?
I mean, I think number one, like, you got to make the squad. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? So you going through training camp, like, you got to focus on making that team.
Right.
And I would say, you know, that's every year. But once you make the team, you start getting comfortable with your routine.
Mm-hmm.
You know when you need to train. You know how you're eating. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? You know when you need to go in the building and watch film, and you kind of got that schedule down. I would say just with the open time, because there is a lot of free time,
right?
Right. During the season, but even more so in the off season.
Of course.
Like, take some of that time to really, like, look inside of who are you? Like, what are you into?
Mm-hmm.
You know, your hobbies, your interests.
Your
what
passion,
do you find? Yeah, just
mm-hmm.
grounding
right.
yourself. And, like, don't be afraid to, one, share that with, you know, your Instagram following.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be afraid to share who you are, because I think sometimes we, you know, especially as players who maybe aren't, you know, feel like we're on the bubble sometimes. We want to, yeah. you know, we want the coaches and GMs to feel like, yo, we 100% ball.
Right.
You know, but they just want to see you perform on the field. At the end of the day, as long as
that's
you perform.
A good point,
so, like, I think, you know, don't be afraid to take that step to share some of the stuff you into and, like, just lean into it at your own pace. You know what I mean? You don't got to do a big brand partnership to start. But, like, maybe have a conversation with somebody who, you know, made the video game that you like to play. You know,
yeah,
maybe that's something that'd be
you
cool.
Like, yeah, you like Madden, go intern at Madden. You know?
Yeah, that's talk cool. to somebody. Because, like, what I found with the NFL platform and the Shield, like, you can really get any call or walk in any door, have any meeting that you really want to.
Yeah.
You know, you just kind of got to have the intention and be willing to send out that email or ask somebody for, you know, that connection. But because, you know, we play ball, like, people want it, they want to talk to you.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm willing to share information.
How many, like, of your teammates do you talk to about this stuff? Are you guys always having these conversations or just kind of here and there?
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
I'll say there's, you know, there's a good amount of guys in the league that are you know, really leaning into who they are off the field. You know, and for me, I try to, you know, oftentimes that group of players always kind of, somehow we find each other, you know
absolutely.
What I mean? And
and
everybody in the locker room got something going on, you know, off the field, and they're doing something. You know, it's just how much are they really leaning into that, I think, is the question. So, yeah, I say every team. And what's been cool to see is over the years how many more guys are kind of doing that and taking the initiative to, you know, to build something outside the game. Because at the end of the day, the game going to end.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, the more you can build while you're in it, like, it's good. It kind of helps with your transition out. I mean, as far as how as I've seen guys, you know, in college and league, like, it's a tough transition into the,
absolutely.
You know, after the game. Yeah.
And that was, like, our whole thing as players when we were coming out or we were playing, like, the organization didn't want to see us do nothing else. They didn't want to see you guys in a magazine or doing, and they just didn't want it. So I was always scared to do that type of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, because, oh, they see me do this, I'm going to get cut tomorrow. Like,
yeah,
that's how we felt, you know. But
I've
you
had
guys,
those feelings too.
Okay.
You know, undrafted guy, like, yeah, I had those feelings, you know, coming through. And I think a lot of this is some overthinking, right?
Yeah.
It's because, like,
it is.
As long as you got that balling, like, why do they don't care if you sharing what you do on Instagram? Like, because I would think, like, damn, I don't want to, you know, maybe
win.
I shouldn't be thrifting so much. They might think I'm, you know, I don't
I was
know.
I was overthinking it. You're right, too.
Yeah.
Wow. So now you say you just started your own podcast. It's called Athlete And.
That's right.
So what's the premise behind that and what made you get into the podcasting?
Yeah. So, you know, kind of along this same conversation of you know, leaning into who we are as people off the field, right? And so the Athlete And is highlighting some of those stories and experiences and, you know, guys around the league, what they're doing, you know.
And you're doing this with?
This is through One Team Partners.
Okay. You're the only host or you have someone else hosting?
It's me and Brandon Copeland.
So Brandon Copeland, okay.
Brandon Copeland, yeah. He just finished up his ninth season or going into his ninth season. Mm-hmm. Another outside linebacker.
Okay.
Yeah, and he does a great job off the field too. He actually teaches a financial literacy course at Penn, like an Ivy League school. Yeah,
right. He's, okay, cool.
He's a monster.
Major.
So yeah, him and you engineering. So this is pretty solid, huh? So Athlete And.
That's right. That's right.
And you guys have already, how people can find you on that Athlete End?
So we're actually launching soon.
Okay.
Our first episodes were filmed at the Pro Bowl. Okay. You know, we had some good guys. We probably filmed like 10-ish episodes, and we're here at Super Bowl, and we'll do some episodes here with some pretty cool guests. And So Athlete End will be the handle. I'm at Instagram, b.scar. I'll have all that stuff
right.
Shared, but Man, have y'all on the show.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We always talk.
Let us again, know,
it's,
man.
It's the more you can do, you know, and again, like you said, I'm starting to realize, like, football's go be there. Like, you go perform during the season, but there's so many doors open, especially when you guys have that NFL tag behind you. You got to take advantage of that stuff right now.
Yeah.
You know? And so, like, what, give me something, like, maybe in the next 5 years that another company or an idea that you want to build over the next 5 to 10 years.
I think this crypto space and NFTs, I think, is really interesting. Just Web3 in general is an interesting space. I think that, like, right now is kind of the crypto version of, like, what we saw with the internet in, like, the late 90s, early 2000s. And I think we're, like, going through that time. And I think it's, you know, it's cool to kind of be in, you know, in our prime, in my prime, when this is all happening. And, you know, no one knows quite exactly what it's going to look like.
Are you in the crypto space? Are you in the crypto space?
Yeah.
What do you get into? Is it Cardona, Bitcoin? Are you on?
So I stay pretty traditional. I'm Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Solana. Okay. I don't do as many of the altcoins, but, you know, I see utility in the, you know, some of the technologies that's been being built on top of these crypto platforms and what they can empower people to do, you know, and kind of started to see this NFT space and how it's.
Are you engaging in that space as well?
I am. Yeah. Okay. A little bit.
Have you bought into?
I bought.
What NFT did you buy?
So I've gotten into Dead Fellas. Was my first.
have no idea what that is.
Dead Fellas, Atom Bomb Squad.
Okay.
These are
just pictures. These are digital pictures.
I can show you, man.
I want to see it because I don't understand it. Okay, I know it's a picture. I know it lives in its own space. I get all that.
Metaverse.
Right?
The metaverse.
Right?
Yeah,
metaverse.
Web3, man.
Okay, so you paid, what, $6 million for this picture or something?
Give me
a crazy number.
So I paid 0.8 ETH.
0.8 ETH, which how much
Ethereum,
is that?
Right?
Ethereum.
How much is that? At the time when I bought it, it was like a little over $2,000.
Okay.
When I bought it. And immediately, people start bidding on it.
To buy it, like, back, like, from you.
To buy it back from me. Yeah, I bought it from somebody, and now somebody trying to buy it from me. Like, there's a whole marketplace around this.
Right.
But why did they want to buy it from you, though? You already bought it. Like, if you go buy some shoes at Foot Locker, you don't walk out the store and say, hey, let me get those off you. Like, they're mine now.
I think in the same way, like, T.O., when you went and bought these Nikes, right? Like,
they were given to me, but yeah, we'll put some
of those. Of course, they're paying you to wear these.
Right,
But in the same way that you're going to resell some shoes and somebody will buy it for more than the retail cost, because, you know, it's a flex to have those shoes.
Right.
Like, imagine, just think about how much time we're spending on the internet. In the digital realm, like, we
all
talk about
time.
The metaverse, like, it's something that we are approaching. Like, we're already here, man.
Yeah.
Like, our identities, like, are actually what we value online is similar to how what we value here in real life. How many followers you got, how many views your video gets, how many clicks you getting, that actually means something.
Right.
And so then the next step is like, all right, well, these pictures, that is like your identity and it's unique.
Mm-hmm.
And if you own one, like, that's a flex. Like, I'm about to show you my MetaMask.
Let me see this.
Like,
what's it called? Animal Goofy or what's it called?
It's called Dead Fellas. So I bought it for 0.8 ETH.
Okay.
I've had offers up to like 4 ETH, which is close to like $8,000-$9,000. And I bought this like a month ago.
So you're getting that much return in that.
If I want to sell it.
If he wants to sell it.
But you're going to hold on to it because it's going to be more later.
I'll buy two just in case so I can flip one if I want, but I'm going to hold one for
it. Does it lose its value?
Yeah, so the bids have gone down a little bit.
See?
So there is a trick to the reward, risk reward.
Yeah, it's a.
So you have to sell when it's hot.
You got to sell when it's hot, or you just wait. You know, I ain't really tripping about no cash, so I'm going to wait and see what happens.
Okay.
You know?
It's like the stock market.
It's really
like stock market or like real estate. And like, if you own one, like, say there could be a Dead Fellas party out here in the Super Bowl.
But nobody go be there because it's online.
No, it could be physical. But your invite could be if you have a Dead Fellas. Yo, I got a Dead Fellas.
So you get
in
like
a party. So you got a whole community
around.
That's
like your VIP, dog. It's like your VIP.
It's your VIP.
Yeah.
It's crazy, man. I'm trying to get into it,
but I'm just like, I can't fathom it.
Hey, man, I was sitting there in your seat too, and I started drinking the juice, man. I'm drinking the juice now.
Hey, so, okay, so what about real estate in the metaverse, or real estate NFT? Like, people buying, we're supposed to buy houses.
I ain't got
online,
so far into
that. right, for millions of dollars. We're gonna sell these houses for millions of dollars, but they're gonna be worth more than the actual house you live in real life. Like, is that where it's going?
Yeah, I don't know as much the real estate
piece.
But
there's so many avenues.
Right, there's a lot with the real estate piece, but what I do think is, like, as we go and search some people's profiles on IG, you know, we actually might share a contact via IG or Twitter, right? You don't even need nobody's number. Like, at some point, technology might be so, you know, so enhanced where you can go VR and, like, you might walk, like, I might, me and you in VR, and I'm gonna walk into your room.
Walk to your
room.
And
you're gonna show me your NFTs on the wall, like, it's physical art. But it's
crazy.
And that shit is worth something, because in your digital house, how many followers you got on IG means something. What your crib look like in the metaverse.
Do your followers follow you?
No, I'm just building.
Like,
you know,
you got a million followers, and you walk around in the metaverse, you know the million people follow you. You know that, right? I don't know, man. We don't know where it's
going.
Who knows what happens?
It's really like, you know, just looking at kind of these sci-fi movies that they was making years ago that's now kind of like happening.
But you said it, just like the internet, you know, back in then, like how that started. Look where we are now with it.
Everybody's like, no, we're not.
Right, you just don't know where it's gonna go.
Bro, back in 1999, it was a bunch of middle-aged white dudes in their garage building this shit, and everybody was like, what are you doing?
Right.
We laughing.
Now we're laughing.
Now we're laughing all the way to the bank.
Oh, man.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I think.
So you love that stuff, though.
I'm interested. I'm a curious person, man. I love to learn.
A degree in engineering.
That's what I'm saying.
I love to learn.
So you already know.
It's Stanford. Y'all created this whole space up there.
Yeah, I've always been into, you know, that space and just kind of learning about new things and new technology. It's, you know, seeing how it affects the world is, you know, is intriguing to me. And, you know, now being in a place where, like, you know, I got some resources and I got connections to possibly start building in the space as well is it's cool for me.
Being up in the Bay in that area during this boom, do you have any of your ex-classmates that are one of these big CEOs of a Google, Yahoo, anything like that that you come in contact with?
No, I've had friends that have went through Google and the Facebooks and the Snapchats and stuff and kind of, you know, been around that navigated that corporate landscape. But, you know, also got friends who are like on the investing side of that. So I work for the venture capital firms that, you know,
Sequoia
are investing
Capitals
in those. The Andreessen Horowitz's of the world. And, you know, so I got guys actually that I used to play with that, you know, stayed out there after they graduated from Stanford and, you know, went into that world. So, you know, it's crazy, like, coming out of Stanford and Berkeley too, the type of guys that, you know, we had in the locker room and what they're capable of and what they're doing now.
Real student athletes.
Oh, my God.
True student athletes.
Student first.
Yeah. Cats are. Yeah.
Some
they
geniuses
know
it out
ain't
there.
About
for
to be
real.
Nobody athlete. Let me be the student.
Hey.
Yeah.
But I think that's what we enjoy about, again, those types of schools, because they're doing both. You know what I'm saying? They're not doing just, you know, one thing.
Well, and all, you know, universities, colleges, they preach and, you know, they want the guys to come in and have education, prioritize education. But, you know, some universities are a little bit more established and esteemed than others, if you will.
And we was balling on that field, too. That was Rose Bowl year 2016.
Oh, yeah?
We really should have been playoffs that year with Stanford.
Yeah?
Yeah, we wanted Bama. See, John,
No, we wanted Bama. Brendan, I'm going to stop you right there.
We wanted
me with the metaverse knowledge. Now you done went way
That was Christian's senior year?
That was not his senior year. It was his sophomore year. It was the year that he was going crazy.
Yeah, that's when he was
helping. That when he got snubbed by Derrick Henry because people on the East Coast wasn't watching the games because it was on too late.
That would have been a good matchup, Stanford and Bama. Yeah, Christian going against Bama. Yeah, that would have been a good matchup.
Yeah, we were loaded, man. We were loaded.
What?
Yeah, yeah.
No, I'm going to let you.
Blake Martinez, Solomon Thomas, Kevin Hogan at quarterback, Christian McCaffrey.
I'm
going
to need you to stick with the Ethereum and all this other stuff, bro. Y'all want to finish smash Alabama, dog.
We wanted that.
You want the smoke? Want the smoke?
Hell yeah.
Just like Cincinnati wanted that smoke, too. They wanted it.
Yeah, they wanted it.
They got it.
Yeah. We ain't even
yet. Yeah. Where can our viewers, everybody, where can they find you on social media?
Yeah, so I'm at bscar, at b.scar on Instagram. I'm at pleasebscarlet on Twitter. You can find Scarlet Creative, learn more about what we're doing at scarletcreative.co. That's Scarlet with two T's. And the Big Yard Foundation at bigyardfoundation.org.
There it is, brother. Appreciate you. Thank you for coming on, man.
Yeah, thank you all.
Sure. Already.
No doubt.
There it is. Let's go, Rams. Let's go.
It's happening daily. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. Time is short before something big happens, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure 4-week emergency food kits for each member of your family. Each kit contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $50 on each 4-week food kit you purchase. Plus, get free shipping on Ready Hour 4-week emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. At My Patriot Supply, you can also get solar power generators, water filtration units, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m., and your unmarked boxes ship the same day. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.